Bible, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. Let us pray. Father, I praise you and I thank you for your word. It's a light to my feet, a lamp to my path, helping me to stay on the way of true righteousness, your way. Keep me on that way. Always give me a hunger for your word, Lord, that I may stay safely in your hand. Let us all stay safely in your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so again, 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 7, but let me take a moment to talk about the topic today, which is love. We've just recently had the celebration of love in the secular world, St. Valentine's Day. That is generally a celebration of romantic love, eros, which is one of the three kinds of love that the Bible talks about. We have, in the Greek, they are called eros, again, the romantic love. There is agape love, which is the love that is from great sacrifice, from a supernatural wellspring of love, the God kind of love. And then there is phileo love, which is brotherly love. And I'm going to focus most on brotherly love today, love that we should have one for another. So I read from 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We loved him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God love his brother also. So, returning to verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows. What is love? again, a lot of times when people ask that question, what is love, they think of romantic love. But I, again, speak of the brotherly love. Is it doing kind things for your brother? Is it giving gifts? Those things might fall into that category. But I think those things are easy to do. And when it's real love, it's to give something that's hard to give. Give of your time, your attention. Really listen to that person. That is giving real love. It isn't easy to give of our time because we have our own things we have to take care of. We have work. We have families. There, we also have hobbies. And when the time comes where someone needs our help, needs our attention, therein is when we give, perhaps on some small level, even agape love, the God kind of love, to give up our own time to share with that person, to love that person. He that loveth not knows not God, for God is love. He gave his all for us. He gave his only son for us. And for us to really truly know him in a deep way, I think we ought to love others the way he loves us, sacrificially. And so I think that the agape love and the phileo love are bound together in that when you come to true deep down phileo brotherly love, you're talking about an agape God kind of love. And we can't escape that. That's why it says if you don't know love, you don't love, then you don't know God. But if you love someone, then you know God. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Not just have eternal life. I think, yes, that's the key to eternal life is Jesus. Knowing him, loving him. But I think our lives here on this earth, regardless of our circumstances, are made more peaceful, more precious for living through him. That is really living, not just existing, but living when we put ourselves out there for our brethren. When we sacrifice of our time and our attention for our brethren, and even more for those that we might not consider our brethren, those we don't like. That's the hard part. I'm going to get into that on Wednesday. And I don't want to jump ahead, so let me get back in the Word. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In a song, somebody said, it's not a miracle when we love God and we accept him into our hearts. The real miracle is that he already loves us and we find him there. He's already in our hearts. We just find him there when we open ourselves to receive that which he has already given. That is a miracle. And so through God, I think, with true brotherly love, we find that that love for people is already there. It's not something that we find, but it's revealed. It's already there. And God opens our eyes to it, opens our hearts and our minds to it, to be the brother that he already is to us. To love people as he loves us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And so we shouldn't. We hear gossip. Backbiting, even call it. And that is not love. In these times, it's easy to get caught up in that gossip because maybe we have an issue with that person. But if acting in love, we should take a moment and say, there's an issue here. Because when somebody lashes out at you, when there is an issue to be gossiped about, that comes from a place of pain. There is something going on in that person's life, in their heart or their mind, that is needing the brotherly love that I'm talking about today, the agape love. It's needing a word of kindness to their face rather than a word of backbiting without their knowledge behind their back. We love, we need to be as God is, direct, openly stating how he feels, for good or ill. There is such a thing as tough love. There is such a thing as tough brotherly love. When you tell someone, I'm seeing this in you, I'm feeling this from you, and it is not good. Can we work on this? That is a statement of love. To say, I'm having a hard time with you. It's not easy to do. You don't know how that person will receive it. But therein is fear. And I'll get to that in a little bit. Moving on, verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. No man has seen God at any time. But Jesus is God. And so if we've seen Jesus, then we have seen God. And so the apostles saw God because they saw Jesus. Nola Jean and I sometimes get together and we can sing a song, Have You Seen Jesus, My Lord? And it talks about things in creation. It talks about seeing and hearing the waves of the ocean. But there's a verse that talks about, have you seen the face of your brother in the midst of the service? And he's worshiping the Lord, and that Spirit of God comes upon him. And if you've seen that Spirit in the face of your brother in the midst of service, then you've seen Jesus, my Lord. So we have seen the Lord. We have seen him. And so what we do to people, to our brethren, is what we do to the Lord. Jesus himself says it. He tells us this in Revelation. There's a day of judgment coming. And on that day, he's going to tell us, what you do to the least of my brethren, that you also do unto me. I exhort and encourage all of us to seek to do to people as we would do to Jesus. Reverse it a little bit. Think about the Lord when you act toward people or on behalf of people with people think about the Lord. How would you treat him and then treat them that same way? Thereby, you will show the love of God. And thereby, you'll have no fear when that day comes. I'm going to skip ahead. No, I'm not. 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. If he is dwelling in us, then he should come out of us. When we are interacting with people, when we are talking with people, working with people, working for people, no matter what it is, if we are having a conflict with someone, he is who needs to come out. There was, I think it was an ORU chapel service, and I think it was Lindsay who was preaching, who said, when you're squeezed, what comes out? If you're a lemon, what comes out is lemon juice. If Jesus is in you, if God dwells in you, then when you're squeezed, when you're feeling pressure, when you're feeling angry, when you're feeling frustrated, overwhelmed, what comes out of you? God dwells in you. What should come out is love. And again, it may be tough love, but it needs to come from a place of love. Not to promote yourself or your own ambition, but to keep peace and harmony. As Paul said, as much as be in your power, be at peace with all men. This is coming from a place of love. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. I'm sorry. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I don't want to rehash that, but I do want to reiterate that when we come from a place of love, we can do no wrong. We will be coming from a place of God, of the Spirit of God, because he is in us. And when we are squeezed, when we're overwhelmed, frustrated, angry, whatever, if we come from a place of love, we will sin not. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. In the day of judgment. You know, in Ephesians it talks about stand. Having stand therefore, and put on the full armor of God, that you may stand. And you'll be able to stand in the day of judgment, the evil day. I think the evil day is the day of judgment. There's going to be a lot suffering on that day. Jesus himself said there's going to be wailing, weeping, gnashing of teeth. That is a day of evil. But we, if we come from a place of love, walking in this life, then on that day we will have no fear, because we will know that we have acted, we have walked in love. No matter what the circumstance, we can know, as long as we act in love, that we will have no fear. Again, perfect love casts out fear. And so we will have boldness on the day of judgment, knowing that we have acted in his love and worked to be the sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, sanctuary for the Lord. And then he will welcome us into his sanctuary, an eternity in praise. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. he that fears is not made perfect in love. And Pastor talks about being counted worthy to be able to go in that rapture. When we walk in fear, we're not walking worthy. If we seek to please God, then we will be worthy. He tells us, says, Lord, we can pray. Paul prays, Lord, help me know your will, that I may walk worthy of you, fully pleasing you. And it is his will that we love one another. He tells us this plainly. We are to love the brethren. And we are to love our enemy. Who is that? That means everybody. We're supposed to love everyone. We don't have to like everyone. I'm not saying go buy a Coke for your worst enemy. But I am saying pray for that person. If they don't know the Lord, pray with all your heart that they do. Treat them with kindness. He tells us to do this. And not because it'll heap coals on their head, although it can do that. The word tells us so in Proverbs. But because maybe by treating that person with love, they will come to know the Lord. Because you have acted as the Lord would have you do. You have acted as if the Lord dwells in you. His Holy Spirit has come out of you when you have felt that pressure of frustration just being around that person. Just be kind. It's not even about being nice, because there's a difference between being nice and being kind. Kindness is honest. Nice is to say, oh, Sister Sarah, your hair looks great, and it doesn't. Kindness is saying, Sarah, I just love to see you smile. Your smile lights up the room. Be honest. Walking in brotherly love also requires that you be honest. And again, tough love comes up in my mind when I say that. Because you may have to say, you know, I know we rub each other the wrong way. Iron sharpens iron. And I want to see if we can find a middle ground. That can be tough to do. But if we are to walk worthy of the Lord, we need to be examples of his love. What does the world see when Christians bicker with one another and act like small children in a classroom fighting over the same toy? It's a terrible witness. People's eternal lives are on the line here. So we have to walk worthy. We have to walk as though God abides in us. As he told us, you know, if you hate your brethren, you don't know God, because God is love. I don't want to have any fear on the day of judgment. I want to be there boldly saying, Jesus is in me, and I'm in Jesus. And so I am going on that day when that trumpet sounds. When that day of judgment comes, the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment, I want to be able to stand there boldly saying, he told me, well done. That's what I'm looking forward to. How can we hear those words if we hate the brother? If we don't walk in his love, how can we expect to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? How can we say we are good and faithful if we do not act as God would have us do? We hate someone. If we walk in selfish ambition instead of seeking to improve the lot of our brethren, to really do the will of God, we have to seek out the good of others. Walk in that. And how can we do this? We can do this because we love him. because he first loved us. I didn't know really anything about real love until I understood God's love for me. I should say I began to understand it, because even now, I still don't understand it all. I think I will once we get there. But even now, it's like an onion, and the layers are getting peeled back, and there's just more and more that I know as each layer of God's love is revealed. I know more and more. There's less I don't know until you get to the center of the onion and there's nothing there. There's going to be no ignorance of the will and the ways and the love of God when we get to that place. The journey is long, but it can be made more pleasant when we act in love. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? I mentioned it before. We have seen God because we've seen him on the face of our brothers in worship. I've seen it. I've seen people worship the Lord, and the rapture on their face is just so beautiful, you can hardly stand to look at it. And so you have seen Jesus, so you've seen God. So walk in love. Walk in love for that person. If you love God, you will love the creation that he made in his own image. How can you say you love God if you despise someone who has been made in his image? We must treat all people with the love of God, the lovable and the unlovable. Again, Wednesday I'll go into that more, but it's love is a choice. Love is an action. It's not a noun. It can be a noun, but it's also a verb. Love on purpose. And you will not only feel more love from the God who put that love in your heart, but you'll find that you have more capacity for love for others. It makes it easier to love the unlovable. And as you continue to pour out that love into their lives, even in small, infinitesimal ways, that love will grow in their lives, and it will continue. It can be a cycle of really, truly godly fruit. And that way, we are prosperous. In that way, we bear fruit. And so, bear fruit in others' lives. Nola Jean, come on up. Bear fruit in others' lives, I would say to you, as John says here, he who loves God loves his brother also. If we are going to truly say we are Christians, which means we are like Christ, then we must walk in love for our brethren. And who is our brethren? I think it's the same as when they asked Jesus, who is our neighbor? Everyone we see is our neighbor. Everyone we see is our brother. If we take that mindset and act accordingly, I think we will find more peace in our own spirits, in our own hearts, because we are then walking worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, really truly loving him. And then he will say to us on that day of judgment, where we can stand boldly before him, and he will hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Father, we love you. Consciously, we say we love you. Help us, O Lord, to not let it be just words. Help us walk in that love. Help us to be the servants, the examples of your love. You want us to be. There are people out there who may never speak to us, but who see us. Help them see you, Father God. Help them see love. Lord, help us all to be a sanctuary of your Holy Spirit, your love, walking pure in you. Lord, thank you again for your word. It's a guide for our lives. Some people say jokingly, I say truly, it is basic instructions before leaving earth. Help us to follow your instruction, Father God, according to your will, in your time, and in your way, the way of love. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is my commandment, that you love one another, that you join in many people. Oh, this is my commandment, that you love one another, that you join many people, that you join. Hallelujah.